98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Madam Speaker, the President.
It looks like she went to shake his hand, and he did not take it.
The President.
He's the President and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the Chief.
Derek Hall.
The President.
On Now with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Cox Business. You can expect more from Cox Business. Switch today at coxbusiness.com.
The Diamondbacks President and CEO has just called the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. Don't really have an update. You guys know as much as I do. I'll talk to you next week.
That's fantastic.
I was just going to say to you, okay, D, hey, what's the latest?
Oh, you guys could have had a nice, fantastic, like, 10-minute break. You just play last week, so we all just walk away.
That is fantastic. Are you in the loop, though? I mean, how much more off are you than us? I mean, do you just read stuff, or what kind of meetings do presidents and CEOs have to find out the latest?
No, we still have our weekly meetings, with the commissioner and with our counterparts. And there's a lot going on, a lot of communication. And a lot of sharing of best practices right now. I think back to that question, Doug, like 2-3 months ago when we were saying, oh, it's business as usual. We're just going to pick up in the season where we left off and, we're just going to keep going. And we're not in that same spot. So we're all just trying to figure this out for the first time ever. I went through something like this similar, in 94, 95 when there was a lot of uncertainty. That was clearly just a labor issue, but nonetheless, it was very similar. We didn't know when the season would start, if it would start. There was a lot of uncertainty in the air, and that's a lot like this situation. But, the negotiations are in the hands of leaders on both sides that I think are capable of getting something done and hopefully still eager to get something done.
I hate to go personal on you, but I'm going to do – how frustrated are you, D?
Yeah, I'm frustrated like everybody just because I love this game. And, it's frustrating what we're all going through. I'm not talking about, the negotiations or where we are status quo.
Right.
That's part of negotiations, as you guys know. I mean, what is said, what we read, a lot of times it's either, posturing or it's not exactly accurate.
Right.
I'm not so frustrated about that. I'm frustrated about wanting to move on and get to normalcy, yet we got to be careful too. I mean, it's so frightening for a lot of people. What I do like seeing, Wolf, is that a lot of the areas, a lot of the states, the major cities where some of our teams are, the big markets, in the past couple of weeks, I don't think we are where we are now, or were where we are now, where I think there's more of a relaxed attitude and approach towards it. So I think that's good for when the time comes when us or any other sports can get back to playing. With or without crowds, that's the major first step. And of course, with anything that we're doing, we still have to agree in every sport on both sides on what the health protocols are. And, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to see those become more favorable for everybody as well. But we can't stumble. We can't put anybody in jeopardy. And, we've got to be very careful. We're all, starting to get a little relaxed, a little bit back to normal when it comes to confidence outside and outdoors. But as we all know, there could always be a second round of this or a spike, another spike. And so we got to be cautious.
We're talking to Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Diamondbacks. You're going to be shocked by this. You took something and look at it as a positive, and I look at it as a negative because I'm so frustrated. When you mentioned the governors and some county health officials, we are starting to open up as a nation. And where I'm frustrated is, why aren't there already teams in Arizona and Florida already going? As soon as Governor Ducey said, let's go, why didn't we go? Why? I feel like we've had 2 months for baseball and the players to already have an agreement, so we could have hit the ground running. Are we wasting time right now?
Well, and I'll make it a positive as well. I think before it was just Arizona that was willing to do so. Now we've seen, states like Texas and Florida obviously willing to do so as well. And I think some of the stricter states and governors have also said, we'll allow sports to come back, professional sports, crawl before we walk, and let's make sure it's without crowds at first. That's all positive. I don't think we were ever in a position or ever willing to, start spring training until we were all in full agreement of what the negotiations would come to. So that's got to happen before all the teams get together. But I know, you know, we're going to be ready to go here. That's a good thing. We're in a different position than most teams. I mean, teams are, you know, going to have to decide as part of the negotiation whether they're going to do it here, whether they're going to do it here in Florida, whether they're going to do it in their home markets. We don't have to make that decision. That's a great thing. And the majority of our players live here, and they're going to be ready to go probably faster and quicker than any other team.
You know, Dee, of course, you guys gave the players' union a bunch of guidelines in regard to how this game is going to be played, the logistics surrounding it. It was vast and varied, to say the least, right here. One of the things you guys were talking about is no spitting, right? There's going to be no spitting, no fist bumps, no touching your face to give signs, no licking your fingers, things of this nature, right? Which are heretical when you think about the game of baseball. You couldn't do that, but... How are these talks going with the union?
I want to apply those same guidelines to the office as well. You know, no spitting in the hallways.
Right.
No hand. Yeah.
So they're going that poorly. Is that what you're saying?
No, they were. I just
well
think, you know, I think they're being led by health officials and health experts, and I think both sides know that. So you have to just focus on them and see what are realistic, which ones are, which ones aren't, which can be tweaked. And both sides need to be comfortable with that, Wolf. It's, again, we're not talking about just playing in an environment where it's one team against another. It's also a situation where you're going to have, you know, say anywhere from 30 to 70 players that are getting ready and getting in shape when we're still not sure just how flat that curve is yet. So it's more than just when, you know, the Dodgers come to Chase Field and play us. It's got to be that, those weeks leading up to it too, where you've got everybody in one place, not just your active roster at the time. So we have to be careful. I understand why we're doing that, why we're doing things differently, and how could this virus travel? We look at all, you know, the history of the game. We look at some of the behaviors in the game. Those are the ones that you just touched on and addressed, but we have to at least focus on each and every one of them and say, how do you feel comfortable if we're going to play with what we've done in the past? And does it make sense to prevent or prohibit in the future, at least temporarily, until we know that this thing is clearly in control?
If some of those protocols are in place and you guys are on the road and you have about four 20-year-old kids that just can't take staying in that hotel the entire time on the road, and they bust out, what happens? Is that a Rob Manfred thing? Is that a Derek Hall thing? Is that a Torrey Lovello thing? Who's in charge of guys that decide, you know what, I want to go out to dinner?
I know. And you know what? These are adults, right? And it's all challenging. Doug, I think that's why negotiations are so important and that both sides are going to come to an agreement, because then it's one that they've given permission on and agreed to. So they're going to be willing to do whatever they agree upon. And really self-police. And it's going to take a lot of discipline. It's going to take a lot of focus on making sure that we keep the public safe, that we keep the rest of our teammates safe. It's about being selfless during those times. It's going to be sacrifice, like anything and everything. If we want to play, we're going to have to make a lot of sacrifices. That's really what it comes down to.
So, Dee, have those talks, have those negotiations, is the players' union, are they engaged in the process right now? I mean, give us an update as to how those talks are going in regard to this proposal on protocol.
Yeah, well, it's not knowing, you know, the specifics. You know, I don't know how frequently they're meeting or where we are progress-wise. I know that both sides are focused on that right now. And, you know, we'll see. But there's some major issues, right? It's the health protocol. Then there's obviously the financial negotiations as well.
Yeah.
And whether they're going to be one at a time or simultaneous at some point. Like you guys said this morning, the clock is ticking. And that's not just for us. It's every sport. And I get excited to see what these other sports are doing. I get excited to think about the prospect of the NHL finishing, NBA finishing. I think that's all good. It's a completely different situation because they don't have as many games to play to finish their season or start the playoffs. They don't have as many players as we do. You know, you're talking about maybe 1,500 players that you've got to take into consideration here when it comes to health and when it comes to travel and safety. So these are very important steps, and we don't want to make any or take any missteps. But I am excited about what I'm seeing out there. You know, I did watch the golf over the weekend. I watched the drone coverage of NASCAR. I'm going to watch golf this weekend. I've been watching UFC. Everything, anything I can watch to make observations, take notes. and also just get some live sports. You know, I mean, to stay up late at nights and watch the KBO. It's been fun to watch baseball and hear the bat. It really has been. And I've contacted Matt Williams and asked him how it's been, and we've texted one another, and it's pretty exciting to see him in the dugout. But I think those are all encouraging signs, Wolf. They really are. And I wouldn't get too frustrated, Doug, right now, because, again, that's all part of negotiation. You know, it's never going to go smooth. People are going to take positions and strong positions at first. And if everybody's willing to get back out there, we're going to find a way.
This is much more personal, if you don't mind. I know in a normal situation, non-coronavirus, you guys would have gone off the deep end to do whatever it takes to show support to Starling Marte and flown anywhere you needed to go on this planet to show support. What are you guys doing now? How's he doing? What can you do to help Starling Marte through this horrific time that he's going through?
No, I appreciate that, and what a nice man from what we've seen and gotten to know so far. And it's just awful. And you know, that last picture that was shared with everybody, with he and his wife on vacation, and just, you know, how happy they were, just tragic. And from what we understand, you know, a leg issue, ankle issue that landed her in the hospital, and something went wrong. We're lucky to have boots on the ground there in the Dominican, because we would have traveled. You know, unfortunately, another one of our players, you probably remember, with Ketel Marte and his mother, you know, Mike and I flew to the Dominican to be there. We would be there now if we could. It's obviously not appropriate to do so, but he knows that we're here to help in any way. Ken feels the same way, has expressed anything he could do for their family. He's, you know, obviously more than willing, as he always is. But it's tragic, and our vice president, Junior Noboa, who's been with our organization for so long, is so well-respected there. He was at that hospital faster than anybody, and was keeping us informed and helping Starling through it. It's truly tragic, and he's part of the family, and it hurts all of us.
Yeah, that is just awful right there. We'll be definitely praying for him. Absolutely. Thank you, Dee. Appreciate your time, man.
You got it, guys. Thank you. A great job again on QB1. It was fun to hear those guys. You do a great job there.